So from the Hebrew scripture, I am reading Psalm 32, verses 1 through 7. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Happy are those to whom the Lord imputes no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. While I kept silence, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all who are faithful offer prayer to you at a time of distress. The rush of the mighty waters shall not reach them. You are my hiding place for me, and you preserve me from trouble. You surround me with glad cries of deliverance. And in the New Testament, Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there, he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder brother was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come home and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you would never have given me even a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours comes back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fatted calf for him? Then the father said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and now has been found.
Thank you, Sue. I'm wondering if my microphone is on by chance.
Yes.
It's just that I'm having to, I'll put it high up here. Hopefully you can hear me. Thank you, Sue, for reading that beautiful story as only a story should be read. Many of you this week, Anne, sent me a text, hey, how
how is your son doing? Even this morning, before worship service, many of you asked about Micah, my son, and thank you for that. I feel really a part of this faith community, and I feel as much cared for and as I care for you. So thank you. For many of you who do not know, my son last Friday had an emergency appendectomy, and it happened so fast that I could not even book a ticket before he was already in theater, or the operating room, whatever you call it here. Now, my son gave me permission last night to read to you a message that I sent to him last Friday afternoon before he had his emergency appendectomy. And my message read, sort of like Priscilla, I get very emotional when I speak. I get very emotional when I speak. I said, Micah, and this is in a WhatsApp text to him, thank God that you have access to the best medical care money can provide. And a lot of that is because of Anne and because of all of you who helped provide that health care. Jim, that was part of the call agreement. And I did not say to Micah, thank God, in a sort of blasphemous or even a lighthearted sense. I really wanted him to stop and to pause and to ponder and to contemplate and to appreciate how blessed he was, even to be able to have this operation. I knew Micah knew this. I mean, he grew up in the township in South Africa his whole life. But I wanted to remind him. If he was born in any other circumstance, as are most of the world's desperately poor, he might very well have died. I provide my son world-class education and health care. At the same time, my son is well-behaved, ethical, and hard-working. Yet most of that which my son has, he has because it was passed on to him through me. My son is privileged, and I would say disgustingly so. He is blessed. He is fortunate. He is lucky. Call it what you will. My son is privileged because I'm privileged. I also had an emergency appendectomy when I was his age. And during my life, from my father, I received the best health care and education money could buy. I consider myself also, hopefully you do too, well-behaved, ethical, and hardworking. Yet despite that, most of that which I have because it was passed on to me. I am privileged. I am blessed. I am fortunate. I am lucky. Call it what you may. My father, Frank, was an officer in the Coast Guard. Thank you, Heidi, for putting up a display of our ancestors, those who we wish to remember. My father attended Dartmouth College, like my friend Dennis. One of my greatest memories is going up to the Dartmouth-Harvard game and seeing that. Dartmouth is, as you know, an elite Ivy League school just up the road. My father received from his father the best education and the best medical care money can buy. Yet, my father was also well-behaved, he was ethical, and he was hardworking. Yet most of what he had was also passed on to him. My father was privileged. I think you know the line now. He was blessed. He was fortunate. He was lucky. Call it what you may. My grandfather, Dean, also attended Dartmouth College. My grandfather inherited the family farm in Littleton, Massachusetts, from his father. My grandfather had the best education and medical care money could buy. My grandfather was well-behaved, ethical, and hardworking. Yet most of what he received, land and money, was passed on to him by his father. My grandfather was privileged. He was blessed. He was fortunate. He was lucky. Call it what you will. I could go on, but I think you get the point by now. What do Micah, Scott, Frank, and Dean all have in common? Well, we are, I think, all so-called good people. Yet that is exactly not my point this morning. There are many good people in the world who are not as privileged as we are. What do we have in common? That's Dean, Frank, Scott, and Micah. Is one, we are all white. Two, we are all male. And three, we are all, so far as I know, heterosexual. And we are privileged, primarily because we have grown up and lived in a racist, patriarchal, and heterocentric society that advantages us. And this dynamic that I am describing has existed since genocide was committed across North and South America, beginning perhaps in Massachusetts, where my family settled hundreds of years ago, and where in an entire continent, including large parts of Mexico, was systematically stolen. You see, it's not hard work alone that leads people to supposedly succeed or be privileged. My ancestors have been privileged since the founding of this country, when people of color were only considered two-thirds people. And until 1865, could be kept as slaves. My grandfathers have been privileged since arguably the beginning of time. Women could not even vote until 1912. And still today cannot have anything in the Constitution granting them equal rights. This blows my mind. And we live in a society that still struggles to recognize that which is biologically understood, that sex and sexuality do not exist as a crude and strict dualistic binary. But rather, sex and sexuality exist on a complex and mysterious spectrum. So what do all of these sort of biological or biographical comments have to do with our scripture reading this morning? Friends, I wonder if we can explore the parable of the lost son, which was beautifully read, from the perspective of privilege, specifically white, male, heterocentric privilege. We know the story well. Perhaps we know the story so well that it interpret it through a different lens. Remember, both the older and the younger sons had privilege, right? By virtue of their birth, by pure accident, each had an inheritance of half their father's estate. The oldest was obedient and hardworking, the younger not. Yet both received privilege passed down to them because they were, and this is important, because they were male. Notice there's no sisters in this story. In this story, the younger son squandered his privilege, and this sometimes happens. The older son, because he was hardworking and obedient, understood his privilege was his right through merit. In other words, he felt deserving of what he had. Both were privileged, and both received blessings of privilege at the end of the story. That, truth be told, was just passed on to them by their father. By sheer luck, and thus determined by definition by chance. Notice the women, nor the servants, inherit anything. There's servants in this story who inherit nothing. There are several lessons I think we can take from this story. One, those of us who are privileged, myself included, need to be extremely cautious about being self-righteous. What I have is in large part gained gradually through 400 years of racism, misogyny, and bigotry. As much, if not more so, than by any intelligence or hard work or ethics that I may have. I do not condemn myself, nor is my privilege necessarily to my personal discredit. What I merely say is that we must give credit where credit is due if we are privileged. And credit, or privilege, is more often than not sourced from historical oppression, at worst, and at best, historical bias, as well as from hard work and good behavior. A second and final lesson, I think, comes from the first. If we are to not self-righteously credit ourselves for good fortune, we are called by the gospel of Jesus Christ to extend to others the gift of privilege, not by hoarding it for ourselves or our own families, but by offering it to others. I believe that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are not to offer, for example, health care or education based on financial merit. That is, who can afford that? I noticed something about our scripture reading. I don't know if you did as well. If we go back to that reading, we'll notice that the father ran out to both the undeserving son when he was coming back, and also ran out to the so-called deserving son who refused to come in. The father ran out to both of them. desires, the worthy and the unworthy, to be found equally. So should we, as people of faith, shower privilege on the worthy and unworthy alike. For the inherent characteristics of grace is that it is undeserved. Grace is undeserved forgiveness. And as it regards our society, health care and education are privileges that should not be allocated according to financial merit, but extended to all. Undeserved. Yet for many of us who are accustomed to privilege, like the older brother, moves towards equality, feel like oppression. Like the older brother, those of us who are privileged often feel that moves towards equality feels like oppression. For those who are privileged, let us not be like the older son, who believes that his privilege is exclusively deserved, rather than in large part inherited by chance, and often gained through gross historical inequalities. For those of us who are straight, or white, or male, or all three, may we not take our privilege for granted, like the first younger son, wasting it on ourselves, but rather we are called by Jesus to fight for and to extend that privilege to others. I personally have a long way to go to implement this ethic. And I pray that in the future, the gospel which was read, the good news of Jesus Christ, and this church will give me the inspiration and the means to do so. This was the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God, and the people of God responded.
Amen.